up? It is me, George G. Got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way, featuring Landon Loveall. He is a certified financial planner with KB Financial Advisors. We had an awesome conversation that focused on our evolving relationship with money over the course of our careers. It started out with a really fun version of Two Truths and a Lie. We do really get down and get to know Landon really well. We talk about what's top of mind for him. We talk about the pros and cons of the S&P 500. We talk about making good financial decisions over the course of our lives and balancing that with all of the other interests that we have as busy working people with families and everything else. And finally, a great difference-making tip on how to figure out your net worth. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Landon, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Yeah, so two truths and a lie. I was born with one hand. Landon is not my first name. And I caught an 8-foot bull shark fishing from the beach.
Oh my goodness, these are amazing. And you would think that I would know if you had one hand or two or three or four, but I don't. I have not yet seen the ends of your arms. Is your name Landon and you caught an 8-foot bull shark from the beach? Oh my goodness. Your name's not really Landon.
That's correct. Landon is my middle name. And so that was my mother's gift to me. She liked Joshua, which is my first name, but she did not want people calling me Josh. So she went with Landon instead. And ever since then, you know, it's always been a question on loan applications. Okay, like, what name do I go with here? And I once had to go through a federal background investigation for a job with the federal government. And they sent an investigator out to meet with me. And in these background investigations, when the investigator meets with you, if there are any questions, they'll just ask the question. They won't give you any background information. And so we sat down together and everything we've talked about so far has been fairly routine. And then the investigator goes, in the course of our investigation, we've discovered that you may have used other aliases.
Oh.
And that's all he says. And then it's just like, explain yourself. And so this was a Friday afternoon. I'd planned to take off early from work that day. And he just shows up and I'm like, I don't know, man, you know. I go by Landon. It's my middle name. Joshua is my first name. Maybe that's what you found. I guess it was because, you know, the very low level security clearance that I needed coming out of that background investigation was given to me.
Wow. Just very, very matter of fact, got the light shining on you. This person is grilling you and they're going to get to the bottom of it. It's like, it's just my middle name, buddy. My mom didn't want me to call Josh.
Yep.
All right. Well, I need to know more about the other two also. Do you go swimming now? Because you realize that there's monsters right next to the beach.
So the shark was intentional. Growing up as a child, you know, I go back to renting VHS tapes from local video rental shops. That was my childhood. And the one little local shop in our town had National Geographic Sharks of the World. And nice. You know, there's, I don't know how many times I rented that as a kid. And so sharks were my childhood obsession. And then, you know, as an adult, taking trips to the beach, learned how to, you know, fish for sharks from the beach and really just, you know, amazing animals. And so I've caught a number of big sharks from the beach and the largest being an 8-foot bull shark.
So how far do you cast out?
So this particular spot, I'm fishing an inlet that connects the Gulf of Mexico to a bay in Florida. And so it's kind of like, you know, setting up on the side of the interstate and waiting for a car to pass by. So you just know that there are going to be a lot of fish going back and forth. And because of that, there tend to be a lot of sharks there as well. And so I wade out as far as I can, you know, up to, you know, my chest, and then cast out from there, and, you know, just wait for a shark to swim by.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem like a very good idea, but whatever.
So we have some good pictures and videos, and
I bet.
My dad was with me for that one. And, you know, then I waited out to, you know, to kind of fight the shark and, you know, as part of catching it. And I was kind of out at that same depth, and he's on the sand yelling, you know, don't let him pull you in. And it was definitely an open question there for a little bit.
Don't let it pull in. Okay, thanks. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess that's the only logical thing to say to your child who is now wrangling an 8-foot shark.
That's right. And then the other truth, yeah, I was born with one hand, and so I'm missing my left hand, at my wrist. And, so I get questions, you know, how'd you learn how to do this? And I go, well, you know, how did you learn how to do that? You know, we all at one point in time were born into this world, you know, not knowing how to do all of the things that we do without thinking today. And we learned along the way. And so that was kind of me, you know, and I was blessed with parents who, you know, kind of set aside their fears about, you know, what I would be able to do, and were, you know, wise enough to encourage and give me the space to figure it out, and to not jump in and immediately help whenever they saw me struggle. And a lot of that's my guesses. You know, it's not really something that I've talked a lot about to them, but I just kind of learned along the way. And then I think it's been very helpful in my life as an adult and career, and kind of developing an ability to come up with creative ways to do things that are different than the way everybody else can get something done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So your parents, your mom was brave enough to, your parents are very, very, very brave people. Your dad lets you get in the ocean with sharks and swim out there. They allowed you to struggle and figure out how to get through life with one hand.
Yep.
But not courageous enough to let people call you Josh.
That's right. And then, you know, my best friend as a child was Logan. And so my mom was avoiding Josh, but I get a lot of Logan and London. And so, you know, I'm not sure that her plan was successful.
Right. Well, regardless, well, that is a great introduction to you, Landon. I love it. Oh, what is top of mind for you right now?
Yeah. So what's top of mind for me right now is America's obsession with the S&P 500. Mm-hmm. So if I start a new client relationship and the person I'm working with has done some investing on their own, there's a really good chance that SPY, the ETF, is what's going to be the majority of that portfolio. And so that's kind of what's top of mind for me right now.
Whose fault is that?
The news media, you know. And so we're blessed that we have a lot of great people writing about personal finance, and, you know, the amount of information that's available to us, you know, just, it's never been as easy as it is right now to get good information on financial topics. And it's never been as easy as it is right now to invest on your own. And so all of this, great, you know, but one of the kind of byproducts, consequences of that, at least right now, is we're pretty obsessed with the S&P 500. And we think, and I'm talking about we, America as a whole, and do-it-yourself investors, think that the 500 largest U.S. companies, that's diversified. You know, that if I own the S&P 500, I'm diversified. And it's like investing, check, diversification, check. I'm done. I'm good. And I don't think so. You know, I don't think that that's a good approach to investing.
And missing out and leaving out a couple other things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, 500 of the largest U.S. companies, when there are 3,500, you know, roughly publicly traded U.S. companies, and then one stock market, the United States stock market, when there's an entire world of markets that are out there. And so if we just talk domestic versus international, if you look at the last 20 years, you can look up those periodic tables of investing. And one version of that will show you, you know, the U.S. as one of the developed markets. And so if you look at the last 20 years, there's only been one of those years where the U.S. was the top performing developed stock market. And then you go down the list, it's only 8 out of the 20 that the U.S. is in the top 5, 11 out of the 20 that the U.S. is in the top 10, and that's 22 total developed markets. So there's an entire opportunity set out there that you're missing out on. And the other thing about the S&P 500 is, historically, if you look, you know, if you just look at the way the stock market works historically, and you think about stock market performance from a kind of sensible standpoint, like how does the world work? You know, stock market returns do not come from big companies getting bigger. They come from small companies getting bigger. And so I think about investing like I think about my mortgage, 30 years. So in the next 30 years, where are my stock market returns likely to come from? And they're not likely to come from those 500 companies in the S&P 500 getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
That certainly makes sense. Is it a function of successful media pushing this forward? It's the vanguards of the world, which is nothing but a really positive thing. And to your point, we have access to trading that we've never been able to do. So it is possible to DIY this stuff. And, you know, I'm busy building my career. I'm graduating school, and now I've got a job, and I'm in my 401k, and I should start investing. And then, you know, now I've got a house, now I've got a family, and, you know, it's just, this is just where it fits.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the easy, it's kind of the easiest option, the one that, you know, we just kind of naturally gravitate to. And there's a lot of momentum behind kind of investing that way. Low cost, seemingly diversified, S&P 500, I'm done. I don't have to think about it anymore. And it, yeah, probably because I am busy with my career, which is one of the other big things that I focus on in working with my clients is, you know, how your relationship with money needs to change during your career.
And that's a great first step, right? I think that obviously, moving from not investing to investing is a really, I imagine that's a pretty big step. And then the evolution of it, a little bit more knowledge, sophistication, changes.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're right, that first step going from having no money to now having some money to invest, starting to invest, and then kind of figuring out as the amount of money that you have grows, you know, how does that approach to investing and in money in general need to change? And this is something that, you know, tends to happen little by little over your career. And so for a lot of people, there's not a point in time where you wake up and you go, you know, things are really different now. Like today is definitely different than it was yesterday. It's a gradual change that happens. And where we see it happen a lot in our work with clients is in your 30s and 40s. You know, a lot of people during those two decades, you've done kind of the big life things. You may have been able to buy your house. You may have gotten married. You know, your kids may be, you know, approaching school age. You've went through a series of promotions at work. your tax return has changed. And so you reach this point where to you, it feels like nothing's happened. But over the last 10 years, you've moved from having a net worth that's less than your annual income to now having a net worth that is a multiple of your annual income.
So it's hopefully a natural progression. Is it just a function of inertia that kind of keeps us where we're at, and it's fear of branching out from my original strategy, my infatuation? It's not an infatuation, just my relationship with investing is the S&P 500, and now I need to move beyond that, but I'm nervous about it. I don't want to make a mistake.
Yeah, I think it's all of those things. And so my experience in working with clients is that are in kind of that age group and going through these things is one of the things that happens is you get really, really busy. And so right now, my kids are 14, 12, and 10, and I can't put my finger on it. I can't pull out my Google Calendar and say, here it is, George, this is it. This is what's changed. This is why I feel the way that I do, that I feel so much more busy now than I did, 10 years ago. But there's first this sense that something has changed. I'm a lot busier now. And then the fear starts to creep in with kind of the stress and the anxiety, where it's like, I don't know what to do. And then what we naturally want to do is, I don't know what to do, but I remember a time where I wasn't so busy, where I felt like I had a handle on my money and I knew what I did then. So let me go back and do that again, except I'll try harder this time and make sure that it works. So there's this sense things have changed. There's fear that starts to creep in. Kind of a not knowing what to do. And then the natural thing that we tend to do is to want to go back to what worked for us in the past with our money and think, oh, well, I need to go back to that. That's what I know. And this time I'll try harder.
I wrote down Infinity War, and it's not a war, but it's just an ongoing thing. You've got thinking that your life's going to slow down and that, oh, this is going to be a slower period now that my kid's 14 or 15 or 16 or 17. And I've got to constantly be working on my health and even more as I get older. And so there's never going to be a perfect time to do these things or to make changes, just recognizing that this is just the way that our lives are. Maybe it's shocking. Maybe you don't like that, but that's just how it is. So how do you go about creating one of my least favorite terms, creating the space to be able to say, okay, this is something that makes me nervous. What new resources do I need? How can I go about making better choices that are going to get me to where I really want to go?
Yeah. The first thing that I do is I listen. So with a new client, my favorite new clients to work with are the ones that, they're ready to talk. And so a common experience I have with a new client relationship is on that first phone call, it's tell me what's going on and what prompted you to reach out. And I just open the door and they've thought about working with someone for a while and they've got kind of this, infinity loop, this mind, circling the drain, all these things that they've been thinking about, and they just have waited for someone to ask. And so they'll just tell me everything that's been on their mind for the last 6 months while they've thought about working with someone. So the first thing that I do is listen. And then the second thing that I do is for our clients, usually what they're going through, it's the first time that they've experienced something like that. And one challenge that they face is the first thing they'll do before working with me is they'll talk to their coworkers. But you know, and I tell them this when we start working together, when you talk to your coworkers, you're often getting the Instagram filter version of their financial life. Mm-hmm. Nobody talks about their mistakes. They'll tell you about something they're doing that they think is working, and maybe it is working, but if it ends up being a mistake, they don't come back to you and tell you, hey, I really screwed that up and it was extremely painful and embarrassing. Let me humiliate myself by letting you know what I've done. So for them, it's their first time experiencing something like this. But for us, that conversation with this new client is one of many similar conversations. And my own experience of being kind of that age going through those things. So a big part of our work as advisors is that collective experience to let them know, okay, first you're going to be okay. You know, like this part of life is really tough and I get it, but you're going to be okay. Here's what you should worry about, and everything else, just forget about it for now. It doesn't matter. You don't have to think about it. Here's what we're going to do. And so moving them from kind of, here's all the things that are on my mind, to a well-organized plan that focuses on the things that you do need to think about, and kind of being able to take that deep breath and say, okay, like, I feel like I got a handle on it now. I know, you know, what I need to do next.
And is that really success? That
for me, it is. Yeah, for me, it is. And, you know, and I hope that it is for them. Everybody's experience is different. Mm-hmm. Another example, what really is success is, you know, a client who told me, so this client was going through all the things that we're talking about now. You know, there was a period of time where they were married, had no kids, no house, no money. And over the 4 or 5 years that we've worked together, they first went through an IPO, which is a big part of our work with tech professionals. So she went through an IPO. They bought a house, sold a house, bought another house, had two kids. So that's been like the last 5 years. And so in one of our annual meetings, the question that they asked is, you know, we're really busy. We don't feel like we've got a good handle on our month-to-month expenses. Is this something that we should worry about? And so we reviewed all the information. We looked at, okay, well, tell me about your expenses. Well, you're not running up credit card bills. You're still paying those off every other month. Every month, you're still maxing out your 401k, your saving bonuses and kind of those big checks that when they come. So, no, you don't need to worry about your expenses. And he shared with me, he said, you know, I'd looked at this before our meeting, and I looked at the amount of money we spend every month on takeout. And I thought, you know, if we work really hard, maybe we can cut $250 a month off of the amount that we're spending on takeout. He said, but then I looked at our investment portfolio, and one good day in the stock market is worth a lot more to us than $250. So, you know, and he was starting to realize, like, what am I going to worry about? $250 on takeout, or making sure that my portfolio is invested correctly and that I'm finding opportunities to feed that portfolio. And so that was success for me, the realization that the game that they're playing with their life and their money is different now that they have money than it was back before the house, the kids, and no money.
I love it. $250 were, like, if we really try hard, we'll be able to cut that out. But what's the point? It makes you happy, you know? Yep. Don't even think about doing that. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, Landon, we're ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for us, sir?
Yeah, my difference-making tip is calculate your net worth as a multiple of your annual income. So we work with busy professionals, and you know, the game of money for a busy professional, W-2 employee, is to take your career and your income and build an investment portfolio that allows you to achieve financial independence. And so the easiest one kind of ratio to measure your progress in that journey is to calculate your net worth as a multiple of your annual income. And it'll also give you insight to, do I need to focus on managing my expenses so I can save more money, or do I need to focus on my investment portfolio because it's those investment returns that are driving progress for me?
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. Landon, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Yeah, kbfinancialadvisors.com. It's easy to go there and schedule a free call with me, to talk about what's going on in your life and see if working together would be a good fit.
What? Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Landon your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to kbfinancialadvisors.com. Check out the great resources and click on the button that allows you to schedule some time with Landon and make sure that you are where you want to be. And more importantly, that you're going to end up where you want to end up. Thanks again, Landon.
Yeah, thank you.
Until next time, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.